could have caused a full-scale international incident. Both the Soviet Union and Outer Mongolia, which shared borders with Manchukuo, were extremely sensitive about border violations, and there had been several instances of bloody combat over such matters. In our day, the army was in no mood for war with the Soviet Union. All our force was invested in the war with China, with none to spare for a large-scale clash with the Soviets. We didn't have the divisions, or the tanks, or the artillery, or the planes. The first priority was to secure the stability of Manchukuo, which is still a relatively new political entity. Establishment of the northern and northwestern borders could wait, as far as the army was concerned. They wanted to stall for time by keeping things indefinite. Even the mighty Kwantung army deferred to this view and adopted a wait-and-see attitude. As a result, everything had been allowed to drift in a sea of vagueness. If, however, their best-laid plans notwithstanding, some unforeseen event should lead to war, which is exactly what did happen the following year at Nomonhan, we would need maps to fight. Not just ordinary civilian maps, but real combat maps. To fight a war, you need maps that show you where to establish encampments, the most effective place to set up your artillery, how many days it will take your infantry to march there, where to secure water, how much feed you need for your horses, a great deal of detailed information. You just couldn't fight a modern war without such maps. Which is why much of our work overlapped with the work of the Intelligence Division, and we were constantly exchanging information with the Kwantung Army's Intelligence Section or the Military Secret Service in Haila. Everyone knew everyone else, but this Yamamoto fellow was someone I had never seen before. After 5 days of preparation, we left Xinqing for Haila by train. We took a truck from there, drove it through the area of the Kandor Byo Lamaist Temple, and arrived at the Manchukuo Army's border observation post near the Kalka River. I don't remember the exact distance, but it was something like 200 miles. The region was an empty wilderness, with literally nothing as far as the eye could see. My work required me to keep checking my map against the actual landforms, but there was nothing out there for me to check against, nothing that one could call a landmark. All I could see were shaggy, grass-covered mounds stretching on, the unbroken horizon, and clouds floating in the sky. There was no way I could have any precise idea where on the map we were. All I could do was guess according to the amount of time we had been driving. Sometimes, when one is moving silently through such an utterly desolate landscape, an overwhelming hallucination can cause one to feel that oneself, as an individual human being, is slowly unraveling. The surrounding space is so vast that it becomes more and more difficult to keep a balanced grip on one's own being. I wonder if I'm making myself clear. The mind expands to fill the entire landscape, becoming so diffuse in the process that one loses the ability to keep it fastened to the physical self. That is what I experienced in the midst of the Mongolian steppe. How vast it was! It felt more like an ocean than a desert landscape. The sun would rise from the eastern horizon, cut its way across the empty sky, and sink below the western horizon. This was the only perceptible change in our surroundings, and in the movement of the sun, I felt something I hardly know how to name. Some huge cosmic love. At the border post of the Manchukuo army, we transferred from truck to horseback. They had everything ready for us, 4 horses to ride, plus 2 pack horses loaded with food, water, and weapons. We were lightly armed. I and the man called Yamamoto carried only pistols. Hamano and Honda carried Model 38 regulation infantry rifles and two hand grenades each.